when I think of these temptation accounts, I can't help but think of watching cartoons in my childhood. And, you know, especially the older ones, that almost all of them had that little scene where the main character was confronted with a moral dilemma. And what happens? What appears on his shoulders, right? The good angel and the bad Satan there, right? The white and the red, right there on the shoulders. And I was thinking, you know, if only life and temptation were that easy to deal with. If only it was that simple. In our first reading, Adam and Eve are confronted by a serpent, which is a symbol of Satan. And the temptation that Satan offers to them is more than just partaking of this tree that was forbidden to them by God. It's more than that. Satan is attacking the relationship that they have with God. He is calling to question the very fact of their being, that they are a creature and God is their creator. He's calling into question, is God a good father or not? So he begins the temptation with a question. Did God say for you not to eat of any of the trees in the garden? And they respond back. And then Satan gives him the lie. He says, oh, well, that's because God doesn't want you to eat from that tree. Because if you do, you'll be like gods. And you know what is good and what is evil. You see the temptation there. The temptation is for them to be like gods. The temptation is to cease to break the creator-creation relationship. For them to have their own radical self-autonomy. Independence from God. They no longer have to listen to God anymore. They can be like God. So Satan calls into question, your God is a jealous God. Your God doesn't want you to eat from that tree because you will be like him. He's selfish. Does he really provide for all your needs? Because he's not providing for this one. He's forbidding you to partake in it. See, that's the temptation right there. To attack the relationship. It's always about breaking communion when it comes with sin and temptation and Satan. It's about breaking communion, breaking relationships. He wants to isolate us, make us believe that we're alone and that we can only survive in this world through our own efforts and merits, that no one out there is there to help us. God, in his plan and in his goodness, gives us a salvation and redemption in Jesus Christ. That the Father sends the Son, and the Son, out of humility, takes on our human nature with all of its weaknesses and shortcomings. He takes it on and fights the battles where we have lost. So first and foremost, the battle against sin and temptation. He takes it head on. And like Adam and Eve, Satan's job is going to attack the relationship. Again, the temptation is more than just turning stones into bread or jumping off a temple or being shown all the kingdoms and offered the kingdom so that they can worship him. The temptation is to get Jesus to call into question his relationship he has with the Father. And so when does Satan attack Jesus? He attacks him when Jesus is hungry, when Jesus is weak. It's after the 40-day fast that he now comes into the picture. After Jesus kind of, in a way, ends the dialogue he has with the Father in the desert. When he is hungry and the weakness, Satan comes to him. He does so with us as well. He comes to us when we're angry, when we're lonely, when we're depressed, when we're anxious. When we're not at our best, that's when we're more likely to fall into sin. and give in to temptation. That's when the temptations get stronger. When we feel there's no hope in life, when we struggle in our faith, when we're losing that charity, then the evil one comes. Then we sin. And so Satan calls to Jesus, "Why is your father letting you do this? Is he a good God or is he not? You are here hungry. You're going to enter into passion and your death. The father is asking you to do this. Is he a good father or is he not?" That's the temptation he's offering to Jesus. Or put it in another way, why would God let this happen to you? Have you heard that line before? I believe it's the number one stumbling block for why people don't believe in God. If God is so good and so powerful, how can he let these horrible things happen to people? It's the same temptation that Satan is offering to Jesus. You created the whole universe. You were with God in his divine glory. You are eternal. And yet he has asked you to take on these limitations. He has asked you to suffer. He has asked you to die for people where many of them won't even believe in you. But Jesus remains rooted that he is the beloved Son. Jesus is able to rebuke the temptations of Satan because he knows very deep in his core who he is. The key to fight temptation is to know your identity, that he is the beloved Son of the Father, that he loves the Father, and he knows the Father loves him, and therefore he trusts in God the Father. There's our tools for when we fight temptation as well. Through baptism, you are the beloved sons and daughters of God the Father. He has marked you as his own. And he doesn't abandon you in temptation, but yet he gives you the graces and also through the work of his Son to fight temptation. That God has not abandoned you, he has not left you orphans, but he has marked you as one of his own. When you struggle with sin, always remember that you are still the beloved Son, whether you give in to the temptation or not. That's the key. Because as soon as we sin, what happens is we doubt that relationship with God. Even before we sin, we doubt it. And we rely on earthly things, power, possessions, pleasure, to satisfy us. But our hearts are restless until they rest in God. There is our true home and true salvation. The Father loves us. He loves us so deeply. And he's there to help us in that battle of temptation. Like our Lord, when you struggle in sin and you fight the good fight, know that you are God's beloved Son, and he loves you like a father, and he's going to help you like a father. May God bless you.